Well, the Bible is without question the most unique book in all of existence. Edited before it was written, purposed by inspiration before the world was created, so that history was settled before it was lived out, and scribes were chosen to pen what the author directed. He, using their experiences and voice, story his way, sometimes in great detail, sometimes with broad strokes, sometimes with mysteries that only he can. God still speaks to us from his book today as he spoke. Such is the single recorded statement of God to Adam, subject to the future of man, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Almost like that brief warning on a pack of cigarettes, God says in Genesis 2:17 this: "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Without any of the details, world-altering, no dissertation on spiritual death or what physical death might be like in the future, no preview of the judgments that would follow if they did eat, or its ravaging effects upon mankind for all time. Just simply, all that was really required to be said and obeyed by the sovereign creator himself was said right there in verse 17. That's, however, not what was done. And the effects of not obeying one simple command has reverberated throughout human history. And it matters even when we can't fully grasp the ramifications of it all. When he states it in simple form and doesn't elaborate, we still are bound to do what he tells us to do, or there are consequences. In Genesis, by the devil, chose to not believe God's report from verse 17. She, in fact, put words in his mouth he didn't say. First legalist to ever inhabit the earth, adding to, putting more into what's being said in the scripture than God intended. And she believed a lie about God's intent that goes to his character. He never told them why. He just says, don't eat, and if you do, you'll die. Adam, known to this day, willfully Eve over obeying God's word. Maybe there was a fear of being alone again. Maybe the idea of losing Eve was more than he could bear, or just simply the fear of losing her in particular, not thinking about what God might do or how he might handle that if one of them and not both of them had acted. Listen, we disobey God and often take others with us in the process. Romans 3, verse 4, man a liar. That's an absolute truth, again, with ramifications for acting contrary. Listen, in a world where facts are often fuzzy at best, where truth is on end, misinterpreted, ignored selectively, or outright lied about, the one place that we can find absolute truth undiluted is in God's word, no place else. He is always right when he speaks, and we can rest in that and should, as those professing Christ, rest in that. He's not given us the option of deciding whether time has changed in or our own educational process or discoveries have changed anything. When God speaks, he is right, and he is always right. This is the point in the next set Psalm 19, the six qualities of the Word of God listed there, and the six effects of God's Word that we started looking at on April 5th. Let's go to Psalm 19 and read verses 7 through 11, and we're going to go from there. We're just going to be looking at verse 8 today. We're not going to be looking at all these verses, but let's go to Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Now, the first two of our six was found in verse 7, where it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord, it converts the soul. The second, the testimony, the witness. You to go to Assembly of Christians, but Assembly of Christians on Facebook and listen to the April 5th message, because I want to move on today with these other two. I don't want to spend time unpacking all of that. Now, we might place these next two in verse. Wisdom that is the very character of God. First, it says, the statutes of the Lord, rejoicing the heart. Now, the word for statutes used here is pikud. It's actually only used 24 times, that particular word for this, in all of Scripture, and 21 of those are found in Psalm 119. It references the right and holy nature of Let me read just a Psalm 119:15. I will meditate in thy precepts, another term that's used for statutes. Psalm 119:27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Psalm 119:40. I long after thy precepts. All of these, that is his heart to God, because this is personal. I long for this, teach me, is personal. This is his heart crying out to God, somewhat like Joshua saying that I meditate in your word day and night in Joshua 1:8. Now, Psalm 19:8 continues by saying that the statutes or precepts of the Lord are also right. Yashar means righteous and straight. Because of this very truth, Israel was admonished with the hope of a promise of health and prosperity in Exodus 15:6. Listen, if this in contrast to the repeated judgments found in the book of Judges, where it is stated that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Two different things. Listen, what is right is never right in his. We do not know better than him, and we never will. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read verses 5 through 8. When we talk about the wisdom of man, listen, when I hear someone say something that is wise, that I can hear and believe is wise, I can also find that counterpart of that wisdom in Scripture, even if the man speaking it doesn't know that. But the wisdom that comes from men that makes them think that they are wise is at best a deception. To have true wisdom is to agree with God. The wisest man on the earth is the man who consistently agrees with what God says. Proverbs 21, verse 30 says, there is no standing nor counsel against the Lord. Anything that runs contrary, no matter how nice it sounds. Often I see these little memes by really noble people that love the Lord, because I know them, that haven't thought through what it is those things actually are saying. And sometimes what Scripture says is to go and post on there, good post, sis, or good post, my brother, and then quote a Scripture that relates to that post, so we can see that the wisdom that they're quoting, even though it's not directly quoted from the Scripture, really agrees with God. You're agreeing with the Lord. And sometimes you have to go back and say, well, that's really not what Scripture says, and you're going to be poking someone. But that's the way it ends up. There is no wisdom, no understanding, and nor counsel that can stand against the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. That word means it's like leaning, listening really carefully and closely to what I'm saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep your eyes on them at all times. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God's statutes are restated in another fashion in some way. They are good the way they are, and we keep our heart with all diligence when we follow them. Psalm 19:8, to keep them, it says, rejoices, in fact, the heart. It makes the heart glad. Which the issues of life proceed is glad. The very core of man that drives our desires is glad when it keeps the word of God. And only when it keeps the word of God. 1 Timothy 1:19. One night, verses 159 to 160, David says, consider how I love your precepts. Quicken me, enliven me. That's what that means, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Enliven me, make me alive that I may desire nothing more than to have your word. Second, in verse 8, it says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The word commandment, mitzvah, includes all the ordinances and laws of God disclosed by revelation in his covenant relationship with Israel. His legal, moral, ethical, and practical expectations as the commandments bear collectively upon a covenant people. Calvin offers them some insight on this by saying that only in the commandments of God can we find the difference between good and evil, laid out clearly. You want to know what good and evil is? We go there. Elsewhere, since what men devise of themselves is mere filth and refuse, they can only corrupt the purity of life. So no standard of conduct in the hands of men rise to the standard set by God alone. As Romans has told us, all will fall short of the mark that is required, which David says is pure, which means clean and free of all contaminants, perfect without admixture, always and forever. It is perfect. When we sit sometimes in our life, maybe a friend has died, maybe it's just that we're aging. In some way, our mortality has been called into question. And when we sit and ponder our end, we have absolutely no need to wonder if our deeds are sufficient to enter glory. Have I been good enough to go to heaven? Because we need only turn to his standard. He gives us clarity that we cannot hit the mark. There's a problem there. Go back to the Easter message from last week. We cannot hit the mark. We have no merits to put into our account. We have only demerits because of our very nature. It's what we're born with. If we want merit, that has to be supplied to us from what theologians refer to as an alien source. A source outside of ourselves, beyond other men. And that source is Jesus Christ. And so if we go to standard and we clearly see, because clarity, just in knowledge alone, our ability to have intellectual power, those. And so what are we going to do? Well, we either lower the standard to appease our fears. We decide what God will accept. The very answer I was talking about that's found only in Christ. That answer from which we will find grace. Grace sufficient for all of our needs in Christ alone. Or not. In which we will stand guilty before God without defense. The law fulfilled in Jesus, his righteousness added to our account, or the law still perfectly fulfilled in judgment upon the rebellious. The clarity of both revealed in God's word. The gospel standing in contrast to the ways of man. His way, which is right and holy, in contrast to doing everything that I think is right in my own eyes. In the book of Revelation, verses 11, we see that day laid out here when all men will face that great judgment time, when we will step up and say, I did everything that I thought was right. Or I stand in the righteousness of Christ. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Two, which those who have bowed the knee to Christ, those who have repented of their sin and turned to Christ alone for their salvation, trusting in Him entirely and not themselves, those names of life were told in another place. The book of life of those who have found true eternal life forever in Christ. And the books. I can't be what the books are, but what's generally believed and what I believe is that the books are this very book that I'm holding in front of me right now. It's the Scriptures. If a man wants to step up to that throne, he's going to start unpacking that, and he's not going to stand up under the scrutiny. In fact, Scripture says, keep all of the commandments and break one. Just break one. And it's the same as breaking them all, because every one of them has the penalty upon it, if you break it, of death. You kill one man, penalty. You kill 60 men, 60 times. But whether you killed one man or 60, the death penalty is still the same. You break one law, the penalty is still the same. It's the book of life, or he opens the books. Matthew 12:37 says, by your words you shall be justified or condemned. By your words. What will your testimony actually be? And you're not going to be standing before that throne in all of your regalia. You're not $2,000 suit you were wearing on the street when you lived off the street. Every man is going to stand as they were born, naked before that throne. You will have nothing to offer. No name. Listen, my pastor was the pastor of a 20,000-seat church. Listen, don't you know who I am? I led nations. No, you're just that guy who made a decision to reject the rightness, the holiness of God. Just that guy. I did it my way. It's not going to work for Sinatra. It's not going to work for you. Listen, we'll find joy in His statutes now, and peace in Christ now and forever, or we'll find utter dread and fear forever on that day. That's the way it comes. And the judge will sit uncontestable and right. Tells you, I don't care what the lady tells you, what your peers tell you in college, what people say is okay now, or that was old, and that's the way people used to think, and we don't think that way anymore, and things don't matter like they used to. Yes, they do. The standard has not changed. God changes. And you will answer based upon what His Word says, not what your neighbor says, not what your roommate in college says. What your wife or your husband wants you to do, or your neighbors want you to do, or any group you hang around with, you will answer to God, and so will they, and they will not be there to back you up. They might try to blame you, but they will not back you up. There'll be more fingers pointing than you can imagine, but there'll be no fake news. It'll all be absolutely true. By reading verses 130-144, there's a lot more I could have done with this. I'm hoping maybe is getting praise for that. Together, I look forward to seeing you. Maybe I can't shake your hand for a while or give you a hug, perhaps, but I can see you, and that'll be good. But let me close out with Psalm 119, 137. Art thou, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies that you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten your word. We do what's right. There's a price to pay before the wicked, but not before God. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I'm small and despised, yet do not I forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Amen? Amen. Let's have prayer. We have a closing song and the benediction. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you for your great and wonderful mercy to all of us. I thank you for your willingness to send your Son to live among us fallen creatures, the perfect walking among the utterly imperfect all around him, seeing us as we are, as one of us, and yet willfully living the perfect life, dying the perfect death, and rising from the grave to give us life and victory. We are grateful, Lord. Teach us to always look to your word to find the truth of how we feel and how we think and how we make decisions about life and where we're going and how we do that. Even if your word doesn't directly speak to it, to look and say, Lord willing, we'll look for your hand of providence in these things. May you be honored and glorified and lifted up by a people that loves you, loves your word, and lives it out in Jesus' name. Amen.